So my name is Leela, and this is Ben Justman from PNU Lane, and this is Building on a Bitcoin Standard. So I'm interviewing businesses on a Bitcoin standard, and I wanted to do the first episode with you, especially Ben, because of how much I love your business. And I think it's especially since we are so early, your business is the standard to me.
I appreciate that.
Of course.
I definitely started it. I started it before I got into Bitcoin. So it's kind of turned into a business built on a Bitcoin standard, I guess that's how you phrase it. But I didn't start sales until I got into Bitcoin. So, and wine itself is a pretty low time preference game. So it definitely fit in pretty easily from the beginning.
Exactly. That's one of the things I was going to ask you, how it relates to proof of work. But yes. So if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself, I want to know kind of how you got into it. I think it's like a family business, right? With your dad.
Yeah, so I grew up on this. I guess the beginning of the story is that my dad's dream was to retire to a self-sufficient farm. So he, in his late 50s, purchased a farm in Western Colorado, and we moved here when I was 8. And his idea was to grow all his own food, and he just got we kind of had a bunch of apple trees we needed to cut down. They weren't really producing. And he got convinced by one of his buddies to plant grapes. And so he planted grapes, and then that turned into making wine. And so he started making wine for a long time, starting in 2006. And he kind of didn't really, he's just growing grapes, making wines, kind of a hobbyist winemaker, but it turned out really good. And it was kind of the it wine in the area. There's about 8 or 10 other wineries here. And then he stopped selling it after a few years. It just, he's older, he's retired, he's just trying to make wine for himself. And so a few years later, I kind of was just looking for a business to start. And this was sitting here for me. I mean, he had everything ready to go as far as being able to make wine. Like, I've had to scale up quite a bit, but to get going from the beginning, all the equipment was there. I thought the knowledge was there, and I learned pretty quick that I didn't really know what he was doing, and I had to teach myself. But yeah, so in 2019, I made my first batch of wine. I was living in Denver at the time, so I was commuting 5 hours to make wine.
Oh wow.
Still working full time in Denver. And
So that at the time, this is more of like a part-time hobby.
yeah, like I started a couple
You're
other
still
small
working full
businesses
time.
that didn't side hustles that didn't go anywhere. This was me committing to a long-term thing, knowing that the first couple of years are just going to be winemaking with no sales, no proof of concept. I'd never made wine before, and I was making wine and had to wait 2 years to find out if people liked it.
So that's how you started. It took 2 years.
Yeah. So I made the first wine in 2019 for me. And then I didn't start selling that until last summer, so 2021. So the first wine of my life, and dedicating 2 years of working on this business, granted with a full-time job on the side. That first year was like, are people gonna like my wine? I have no idea. I mean, I didn't get into this as like a crazy into wine person at all. I got into it, one, because I wanted to start a business, and two, because I knew it was a great lifestyle and I wanted to move back home, and live on the farm. And also figured my dad would teach me how to make wine. And like I said, I had to figure it out myself.
It seems like it's a lot of trial and error, but I have tried your wine. I've tried the red one and the Pinot Noir, and it's amazing. It's the most
Oh, thank you.
natural wine I've ever tried. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Especially
that.
the Pinot Noir, that's my favorite.
So that's my specialty, is the Pinot. That's the only grape that we personally grow. The rest I source from great, generally a fifth generation farm that lives that's around here. But I personally grow the Pinot with my dad. It's the highest elevation Pinot in North America. And it's really what I think my area is becoming known for. So it's, I appreciate you saying that. And it's something that's really special to me.
Yeah, it was very good. So the most natural tasting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like coming at this from a zero training standpoint, and my dad was super hands off, and the way he did it was for me, do as little as possible to the wine. Let the natural yeast ferment it. Don't add any flavor modifiers or preservatives or anything. Just it's like it's just the grapes.
Doing it,
all it is.
Literally proof of work, you could say.
Sure is, every bottle.
One thing I wanted to ask is, how did you get the name Peony Lane Winery? I was kind of curious about like the backstory behind that.
So I tried to take as many things from what my dad was doing initially as possible. I very much wanted it to be my own thing, but also like give the ode to him. And so I live on Peony Lane is the street I live on. It's outside of Paonia. It's the original main street of the town before they moved the town because of a couple floods in the 1800s. My town was named after, it's kind of a bastardization of the Latin spelling of Peony. So the valley used to be known as the Valley of Peonies colloquially, and it's kind of just a special place, and Peony Lane really is just, I mean, it's my home, you know, it's a great spot to be. And it also just kind of fits as a great winery name.
I love that. And then something else I wanted to ask. So I know you said once you started getting into sales, that's when you made the switch to a Bitcoin standard. So how was that switch like once you
started? I got into Bitcoin. I guess I started seriously learning about it fall 2020, and I didn't make a wine sale until summer 2021. So, and I, like I said, I started the winery a year before I found Bitcoin. So I would say the first year I didn't really have my knowledge and ability together. I didn't advertise that I accepted Bitcoin. Some people asked and I was like, yeah, I'll accept your Bitcoin. But it was just like, I wasn't ready. And so a year later, the second year of sales, I ordered a Bitcoin accepted here sign, both as kind of like I want to spread Bitcoin. I want to advertise and I want to normalize in people's minds, just randomly walking by like, whoa, they accept Bitcoin, and like very much not crypto. I wanted, you know, I was very much like, let's make this Bitcoin. And so there was that aspect of it. And I got a lot of like people like grabbing it, like poking someone, be like, whoa, they accept Bitcoin. Or like, hey, we should tell your brother they accept Bitcoin. But I also got a lot of people that stopped just because of that.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. some people specifically, like, you know, they found me on Twitter and they knew I was there and they sought me out, and that was awesome. But like the people who were randomly just walking by and be like, oh my God, you're a Bitcoiner, like you're a Bitcoin business. It was, and then we started talking, it was just like, it's really cool. It's an instant connection. Obviously, like, well, honestly, like accepting Bitcoin as payment doesn't, I mean, it doesn't really make a ton of difference. It doesn't like not make sense or anything, but it's just like sure, I save a little bit on transaction fees, like whatever, but I give a discount for Bitcoin sales. So like I'm giving up money to accept Bitcoin. I HODL all of the Bitcoin I get and just mark it down as a cash transaction for like accounting purposes. But like, so it does add to my stack, but like realistically, like I could buy that Bitcoin with the dollars that are sold to me. So it's more of a, it's more of a community building experience, and I want to give people an opportunity to like actually have hands-on experience transacting in Bitcoin. Because I know when I was first trying to like accept Bitcoin as payment, I didn't know what I was doing. And it took me a few weeks to really, granted I was doing other stuff, but it took me a few weeks to really get set up and going and ready to accept payment and getting employees ready to accept payment. So if it took that long, like that much thinking for me, and I've been sending Bitcoin transactions to my wallets and, you know, like I do, have my coins and I move them, but like doing it in a transactional setting, I think was really educational for me. And I think some other people have gotten their system a little dialed just from doing that small transaction with me.
Are there any like meetups around where you live or?
No, I know some Bitcoiners. So like,
just a curious, like what the, you know, Bitcoin community is like around me.
Yeah. So I'm finding more and more Bitcoiners. I mean, like, you know, you find people on Twitter and like, I'm very much motivated because to find Bitcoiners, because every time I meet Bitcoiners, I'm like, well, we get along really well. Like I want to hang out with you.
They're my people.
Yeah, exactly. So I've met a lot of the Colorado Bitcoiners. I got into it because one of my best friends from childhood was the guy who owned a house when I moved back home in 2020, I moved in with him and he was a Bitcoiner. And so we would talk business, we would talk economics, we would talk geopolitics, and like just kept coming back to this. And eventually I was like, I gotta get in, I gotta educate myself about this. Like, this is the smartest guy I know, I need to learn. Essentially like everyone orange pills themselves, but you have to have kind of that, a lot of people have that person that pushes them or makes them curious. So there's him, there's maybe a couple other people. Jason Rick of Rick Ranch's, part of the Beef Initiative, is about 20 minutes away from me.
I didn't know he was so close by.
Yeah, so
huge right now, Bitcoiners into,
I think I think what the Beef Initiative is doing is probably the coolest thing going on in Bitcoin right now.
Yeah.
So the Beef Initiative conference occurred in Crawford, which is 20 minutes from me, this summer. And that brought in not just like Colorado Bitcoiners, that brought in people from all over. And wow, like I went to the Miami conference and was like, these are my people. And then I went to that and had like the Meat Mafia, Matt O'Dell, the guy from Oshi, Michael, some IBEX workers, and like they all came to my house, tasted my wine, and I was like, these are my people. They're awesome because they're so focused on community and eating well, and they just have great energy about them.
I think the more the Miami Bitcoin conference crowd is a little bit more mixed, maybe that's why you didn't feel that way.
Well, I mean, it's a large group and exactly. I loved it. I had a great time, but like, I'm obviously focused on farming and I want to eat well. And that's what a lot of the Beef Initiative is. They're focused on building a community, it seems like. And
I know a few people that are like meetup have ordered from them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also into it as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a cool thing going on. So
that's so cool. 20 minutes away. It's literally not that far at all.
Oh yeah, no, my best friend in high school lived in that town. Like I go there all the time. So.
That's awesome. Like just to know you have that connection.
Totally. I mean, I got like the thing is though, is like with wine, everyone wants wine and I want everyone's food. So it's pretty easy to trade wine for good beef, good chicken, good seafood. Like it's been pretty great for having good food around all the time.
Nice. It just pairs perfectly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, so have you had any, like, something I was curious about, because I know like you have like farmers markets where you go and like sell your wine on Sundays, what I saw on Twitter. Have you had any like bad experiences with like orange pilling others? Like, has any gone negatively? Or like, I just want to hear some of your experiences, because I know it's probably gone like both good and bad.
Well, I mean, at a farmer's market, like there's always so much you can do. Ultimately, my goal is to make a sale, not to orange pill someone. Like I said, like, I don't really think that you want to take credit and you want to be like, I got them into Bitcoin. But like, realistically, like it's everyone's own initiative to get into Bitcoin. It takes your own work, your own education. So I'm never going to orange pill someone at a farmer's market. I just want to, like, if someone's curious and someone wants to practice a Bitcoin transaction and do that or support me with Bitcoin, because like I said, I hodl all the Bitcoin that is paid to me. I'm psyched on that. For the most part, I'm going to give like two sentences max about Bitcoin. They're either going to tune me out, like two people are curious about learning more. You know, everyone has their strong opinion. I'm just some crazy dude at a farmer's market for all they know, you know? I would say that to build trust to the point where someone's going to be like, this guy's not crazy, he might know what he's talking about at this thing, it takes more than just one touch point. And so I'm just trying to be a touch point at a farmer's market to customers and just say, hey, I accept Bitcoin, or like have this one snarky retort to it, to whatever they say. Most people don't notice it. But what I found is it's the vendors who I interact with more about it. They see that people are coming up to me and being like, oh, you're a Bitcoiner. Like, yeah, I'm going to buy a bunch of wine. Like, and I want to support you. And they're like, well, like, obviously, like, how can I get into that? I want to make that sale. And then I can share them about the Lightning Network and be like, look, you can send dollars over the Lightning Network, less transactions. Like I can go all these different ways. But it really takes more than just that one interaction to get someone into Bitcoin.
I would agree.
I feel like, you know.
When I first heard about it, I definitely like tuned it out. I had a friend who was very into Bitcoin and I tuned it out, I'm not gonna lie, at the beginning. And until I saw it in action through the Lightning Network, through the Lightning payment, then I started to like get it.
That's cool. So, you had a Bitcoiner in your life and you experienced it firsthand in order to get that click.
So when I saw like a Lightning payment at Lengthwise, because they accept Bitcoin. And once I saw being able to like transact it or something, then I was like, okay, now I see the benefit of it, like the Lightning Network and effect. Right.
Yeah.
But before, it's kind of like, you know, too technical and I tuned it out at first. But now I'm like, okay, now I get it, because I was able to see it in action.
Right. You got that visceral firsthand experience. And I mean, everyone needs something different. Like you explain monetary policy rates and like geopolitical issues and central banks to me. And I'm like, I'm all in, let's go. But like, I don't know many other people that are reading books about the Federal Reserve. And like, that's, like, I'm fine. Like, just buy Bitcoin. Like, I don't care what interests you about Bitcoin. There's so many different things about it. But like, I'm, you know, like, we don't know what's going to be the one thing that gets someone into it. And so one of my favorite memes is the, what year did you first ignore Bitcoin? And like, because we all did. We all wrote it off at some point. And that gives me just a lot of patience and humility towards getting other people into it, because it's just going to take a while. All I'm trying to be is a touch point, and my friends definitely know that if they're ever curious about it, to come to me.
Oh, they know.
Exactly. They're all your, everyone, every Bitcoiner's friends know.
Let's see. And then what do you do differently now than versus when you first started getting to Bitcoin? Because I know on Twitter you shared kind of like a little bit about your journey, like who you were before Bitcoin versus now, kind of like.
So it's kind of hard for me to totally put all of this on Bitcoin. I would just say like over the last what, 4 years ago, I started my business. And my business, like I described, requires a lot of kind of forward, low tide preference thinking, where every time I make wine, I'm not going to start selling it for 2 years. And I'm not going to really see any full return on investment for at least three. So there's just a lot of waiting and a lot of like just being ready and building for the future. And I think a lot of Bitcoiners talk about that. So that's a lot of like why Bitcoin and wine go relatively hand in hand. I would just say like over the last kind of 4 years, I feel like I really got like my life going, where it was like, I mean, I was 25, 26 before I started. Like I was still searching for what I wanted to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And so wine was the first step with that, where it was like, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. And I think Bitcoin for me was like this is where the world's going. And I don't have to worry as much about the world getting destroyed, or like, I don't have to have this like feeling of despair about the greater world around what I'm doing. Like it's a lens to see the rest of that. And I think that just kind of gives me like a little bit like an anchor and a little bit of peace, where I have the anchor is like what I'm doing with my life. And then I have the anchor with like, this is how I'm going to protect myself and where the world can go, and like hope in that way. So gives energy towards building my business long-term into the future. So like I used to be like really motivated by mountain biking and skiing. And I definitely still am. I love those sports and I need that adrenaline, but like that was
my great. Cause I love adrenaline too. I've been like, parasailing, mm-hmm. like zip lining. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, like you grow up, you need it. Like it was just like, that was the direction of my life, was like, I identify as a mountain biker or as a good skier. And I started getting concussions in high school and just kept getting them. So that was kind of the impetus at first for me. Like, you got to slow down. You can't just keep going full speed without thinking into things. So that was kind of a transition away from those like high intensity, high risk sports that I still do. But like the goal is to turns into enjoying them, not being the best. And so with that, it's like, you're like, okay, cool. I love that. I love living for the moment, but also like, let's build. Like, what, I feel like that's almost like an escape. Like you are like, when you're parasailing and it's like the moment hits and you're like, oh shit, like I gotta buckle up now. Like that's a thing to somewhat live for. Like that's beautiful, mm-hmm. but it's also a way to escape everything else in your life.
Exactly.
And there's a time and a place for that, but when that's what you're focused on, that's what you're always going for.
Yeah, constantly something's wrong with the rest of your life. Trying to get away from life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, kind of just over a couple of years before I started the winery and during, it was like turning away from that a little bit more, and like, what do I actually want to do with my life that's not skiing or mountain biking? Not that I was like anywhere close to a professional or anything. It was just how I identified.
Exactly. More like the shift of your identity to more of who you are now, how totally. That has changed.
Yeah. And so that's turned into just trying to take more time and think things through and think about consequences of actions before just jumping into things, I would say. But recently it's turned into, I think since that Beef Initiative conference, I've really focused on diet and how important that is in building up a baseline to be able to have the power to hit your goals.
Could you share just like something you learned from that conference?
Well, it's just one the energy thing. Of those people was like so infectious, and they just it was like so obvious that everyone who had this infectious energy, it was what they ate. Like, it was not just what they ate, but it was like, that's what I'm missing. Like, I'm building a successful business. I'm motivated. I'm doing all these things, but I don't have that energy. What's wrong? And I think it's the food. Yeah. And so not that I ate horribly before then, but I didn't really put much intentionality into it. And so yeah. The after that, then I really took trading for chicken, steak, ground beef and salmon seriously, and have really started eating those a ton. And have been feeling great.
Nice. I was going to say, people don't realize like how, you know, food is connected to our gut, which affects our mood and our emotions. That's why when you eat poorly, it affects primarily like your mood. It's so.
Yeah. And then you're
correlated to your gut. So.
Yeah. Like and that. If your mood gets affected, that sucks into everything else. I mean, if you're depressed, you're not going to do anything. When you don't do anything, you get more depressed. Like it's just, it turns into a cycle. Yeah. And like, if you can just get that baseline of your food down, for me, at least it's been pretty massive.
I like that. You're like building from the base up,
you know, totally. And I mean, that's like bringing it back to Bitcoin. Like that is where Bitcoin is looking to build is that steady, stable base chain. And then we'll see what gets built on top of it. Like Lightning is such a beautiful solution, but it wouldn't matter if it wasn't for that steady rock of a base chain.
Exactly. And we'll see what gets built upon next.
Yeah, I'm excited. I would love to see. I think just like clubs and kind of just like collectors, like just wrap with wine. And it's like, I get the value of having, like, I know that where this is like beyond where Bitcoin is and beyond where anyone's like, there's no real like way to show off like what you own as an NFT. But if it ever got to that point and you were like, hey, I have this NFT proving that I was like a Peony Lane wine club member for the last 10 years, that'd be awesome. But like, I'm never going to do that off of the Bitcoin blockchain. Well, that's the point. So I'm excited to see where things get built.
Thanks. And then do you have any like favorite books or anything you'd like recommend like regarding Bitcoin?
Bitcoin related. So I mostly listen to podcasts in my education. The two foundational books I read were way before I found Bitcoin, but they set the stage for figuring out Bitcoin, were Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and The Only Game in Town, which is this like really dense book about central banking that came out in like 2016 about, yeah, I'm not gonna like recommend anyone read that. It's probably outdated at this point, but it just basically describes how there's no Bitcoin discussion in it at all, but it describes how central banks don't really have another option except taking on more risk. And that kind of set the stage for me to be like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, central banks are fucked. Bitcoin's probably the answer once I started looking into that.
Yeah, I have read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It kind of shows about the different characteristics and like money, right?
So yeah, I mean, it talks about, that was like the first time I ever heard the difference between assets and liabilities, and just thinking about how to make money as opposed to how to just have a job. Mm-hmm. That was kind of right. I was reading that right when I was realizing that I probably wanted to have my own business. So it was pretty foundational in that way. But he kind of just, I don't know, his writing style and the way he talked about it was just pretty motivating for me, and set some interesting frameworks.
Nice. And then my last question would just be like, any advice you'd be wanting to give to anyone that's like getting into Bitcoin, that's new, just like any advice you would give?
Yeah. Just like looking back and having, I mean, I'm not like any sort of OG. I found Bitcoin like 2 years ago. but there, it was like such a long journey of, and like you and I are like, we're still on it, like we're still learning things. Oh, yeah. And I've made mistakes along the way, especially timing markets, because you feel like it's getting away from you and everything. I'll just say, from my screw ups and everything, like patience is so key. There's so much to learn about it, and it's just like, if there's something that you're like, this is an itch I want to scratch, like there's so many different subjects within Bitcoin. Just like, forget about everything else. Go down that little path on the rabbit hole and learn about it. And I mean, you'll finish that and then you'll get it and you'll come back and you'll find something new. But like, there's so much to learn. Don't worry about learning at all. Just learn the most interesting thing to you next. And like, you'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, that's good. I agree. It can be very like overwhelming trying to learn everything at once. I made that mistake when I first got into it. It's so overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, and when Bitcoiners are trying to tell you about Bitcoin, like I said, I don't know what path to take with you. It's just going to be a shotgun blast of like, oh, and then this, and this, and this. And you're like, I'm overwhelmed. So it really just like, it comes down to wanting to learn for yourself, and you're not going to figure out Bitcoin if you just listen to your friend. Like, you, maybe you do, your friends explain it all to you, but like, you're going to have to learn it. And that's a pretty cool educational journey.
And I just wanted to thank you for coming onto my podcast. And I wanted to thank you again, like, for sending the wine to the Bakersfield meetup. Like, that was definitely one of the best meetups we had. We had like such a good time that night. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh yeah, of course. Again. Yeah, no, I'm always happy to see people drinking my wine, but also it makes me really happy to see Bitcoiners drinking my wine. And I mean, what's cool about wine is like, it's a great conversation starter to have any on, like, to get Bitcoin conversations going, to get any really good in-depth conversations going. And when it goes to Bitcoiners, I know there's good conversations being flown around that wine. So it's cool to see.
Oh, awesome. And we had set a timer too, like to wait. So we were all like just waiting.
Hell yeah.
Try it out. So yeah, I just wanted to thank you again for that. So
of course.
And I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, great talking to you.
Nice. We will talk soon.
Of course. Cheers.
So that was the first episode of Building on a Bitcoin Standard. Thank you so much to Ben for joining me on my first episode. I hope you all enjoyed. And until next time, bye.